Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. I'm delighted to have your company again. The Practical Preacher, Andy Robinson with his final hints on sermon application. And we're joined by Malcolm Ryan for A Pastor Talks. Here on Serving Today, we come to the final part of a short series on sermon application. Andy Robinson is with us on the programme again.
Thanks, I've really enjoyed it.
Last time you spoke about two more hints for thinking through sermon application. Could you briefly remind us what these were?
So we talked about thinking through different groups that might be in front of us. What are their different circumstances or even their different personalities, and how do we apply the Bible to all of them? And then secondly, we thought about a useful question in application. What does it look like? This truth that we're talking about, what does it look like in practice?
Thanks, Andy. And what's your next hint on sermon application?
This is something called the stiletto question.
Now, that sounds intriguing. What does a piece of footwear have to do with sermon application?
Well, part of application should be helping people to reflect on their own lives in the light of a passage. And a rhetorical question can be useful here.
Can you remind us what a rhetorical question is or what its purpose is?
So a rhetorical question is a question that you might ask in a sermon, but you're not inviting replies. You're using it to help people to think. And one of the things I've found with rhetorical questions is when I first did them, I used to use far too many. You know, what are you thinking about this? What should you respond? Why aren't you responding like that? And to be honest, when I used too many rhetorical questions, people just became overwhelmed, and often it just induced a whole sense of guilt in people.
So if not the rhetorical question, how do you go about asking questions to your listeners of the sermon?
Instead of using a whole number of rhetorical questions, these days I try to find what I call the stiletto question. That's to say, one sharply pointed question that's in line with the aim of the passage and gets to our heart. So one sharp question that gets to our heart, or perhaps even our mind or our actions.
And could you suggest some examples of the stiletto question?
So here's a question I like asking. Does your Jesus do that? I often use it when I'm thinking through a passage in the Gospels, and perhaps we've seen Jesus' power or Jesus' compassion, or perhaps Jesus has said something really challenging. And I'll ask the question, does your Jesus do that or say that? And the reason I ask it is this. Often we will end up in our minds with a picture of Jesus that is different from the biblical picture. So the Jesus we think about isn't quite as compassionate as the real Jesus. Or the Jesus we think about isn't quite as holy as the real Jesus, or he isn't quite as challenging as the real Jesus. And to ask a question like, does your Jesus say that or do that, is trying to get at that, to try and suggest that the Jesus we're thinking about isn't quite as good as the real Jesus. That would be one example. Or I remember a few years ago, I was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and we got to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus commands people, don't judge or you too will be judged. So how do I get people to stop judging others? Here's the stiletto question I used. What bothers you more, your own sin or other people's sin? And the aim of that was to stop people focusing on other people's sin and instead get them to focus on their own sin. So that was just a useful question. What bothers you more, your own sin or other people's sin? Another example will be 1 Peter chapter 5, which we've talked about quite a lot in these talks. Again, there's a useful couple of stiletto questions. Do you believe that the Lord cares for you? And what are you doing with your anxiety at the moment?
What's the aim of these types of questions?
I think the aim is to get to people's hearts. You see, you could tell people stop being anxious, But it's actually more effective to say, what's causing your anxiety and what are you doing with it at the moment? In many ways, Jesus is a great example. It's fascinating as you look at his ministry. He asks people questions all the time.
Now, listeners to Serving Today don't live in the same part of the world as you and I, Andy. What bearing does our background have on sermon application?
Well, here's the next hint. Remember the culture in which people live. Remember the culture in which people live. None of us lives in a vacuum. All of us, actually often without being aware of it, all of us are influenced by the values of our culture. Perhaps it's things we see on the television, what we hear on the radio, what we read in our newspapers. And at times our application will need to show the way in which the Bible is different from the attitudes in our culture.
So is that with the aim so that we can point out the sins of those in the culture around us?
No, not really. We don't want to rant too much about how awful the world is out there. Rather, the aim is to help people spot where they've just absorbed the values of a culture without thinking about it. That's the aim, is to say, where have I just picked up principles from people around me or the culture around me? Where do I need instead to listen to what the Bible is saying?
Well, we've come to the final of these hints or pointers for sermon application. What's this one going to be?
So here's the last one. Anticipate objections and struggles. Anticipate objections and struggles. Often when you preach a sermon, it is just one person speaking. It's a monologue. But in reality, the aim is for it to be a kind of dialogue between the preacher and the heart of the hearers. I'm fascinated by the way in which Paul's letter to the Romans works. So he states various truths from chapters 1 to 5. And then if you look at the structure of Romans 6 and 7, it all revolves around questions that Paul realizes his readers might have. So they've not actually spoken to him. He's just been going through Romans 1 to 5 and thinking to himself, what issues, what challenges might people face with this? And then in Romans 6 and 7, he essentially deals with those questions and seeks to answer them. In other words, as we're preaching, and particularly as we're applying the Bible, it's worth thinking to ourselves, what questions might this set off in people's hearts and minds?
Yes, could you illustrate that for us?
We've talked a lot about casting our anxiety, casting our burdens on the Lord. As I'm preaching that, I'm going to thinking to myself, yeah, people might be asking, how do I cast my burdens on the Lord? Or take Romans 6, for an example, where we're told to put sin to death. People might be thinking, yeah, okay, I can see that in the Bible, but Andy, that's impossible. And so I'm going to say, for those of you who are thinking that's impossible, you need to realize we have new life with Jesus. With him, we can do this. In other words, I'll often be trying to apply the Bible beneath the surface level into the questions, the objections that people are coming up with, even as they're listening.
As we bring these talks on sermon application to a close, Andy, listeners to Serving Today might be thinking that we should be trying to use all of these hints in every sermon. Is that the case?
No, that would make it quite a long sermon. These are just things that I've found helpful when trying to apply scripture. So I won't be using all of them in every sermon. They're just things I have in the back of my mind that I can use at different points in different sermons. All with the aim that we won't just understand the Bible, but God's word will actually change us as it sinks into our hearts.
Thank you so much, Andy, for sharing these sermon application hints. I'm sure we've all found these very useful.
We now have the series A Pastor Talks with Malcolm Ryan. His title this time is Almost Indescribable.
When we talk about God's glory, we're referring to something that's almost indescribable. Because not only is it a bringing together of all his attributes, that's to say God's qualities and characteristics, but it's something that's everlasting. Wow, everything that's good and excellent, God's purity, love, faithfulness, mercy and grace, and the list goes on, all culminate in his glory. And it's never-ending. Now, if you've already invited Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour, the very moment you did that, God came in his glory. In Romans 3 verse 23, we're told, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In that verse, the glory represents God's ideal standard. In the wilderness tabernacle, the glory of God was called the Shekinah and was associated with God's presence. Then at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 tells us that when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And when his glory came into contact with people, it blinded them, like Saul on the road to Damascus. In attempting a definition, theologian John Piper has described the glory of God as the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. Beauty and greatness, these are two words that are absolutely essential in any description of God's glory. Beauty and greatness that emanate from his character. Then in thinking about his visible glory, we have only to look at God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, we're told that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. As Jesus himself said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Revealing in the first chapter of his gospel account that Jesus is God incarnate, John says that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then in 1 John chapter 1, the apostle affirms that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. And it's interesting that in the Greek language, the word translated glory also means splendor, light, and brilliance. So everything that God is, all his moral and spiritual excellence, is revealed as light. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the company of Peter, James, and John the brother of James, the Lord Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. So what does the glory of God mean for the believer? Well, in John chapter 9 verse 5, not only did Jesus say, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world," but also in Matthew 5 from verse 14, he said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This means that it's God's intention for every Christian to reflect his glory, that in his grace and strength, we each show what it means to honour and glorify him.
And that's all we have time for here on Serving Today. We trust that you found the programme helpful in your ministry. Please do get in touch with us about anything you've heard. The contact details follow after the end of the programme. So this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God bless you as you serve him. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.